This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're now entering Place to Be Nation Sports Lounge. And now, here are your hosts, Roger Morissette, Chad Campbell, Andrew Flanagan, Jeff Machado, and Keith Schmidt.
Come on, girl. Yeah, it's me, Jackie Moore.
Hello, folks. Welcome to this week's edition of the Sports Lounge. I'm your host, the Cowboy. Joining you, taping on a Friday evening, Friday nights in the lounge. We're usually not doing the podcast, if you know what I mean, but circumstances arose. Wi-Fi connections failed during the week, and here we are. So joining me in the lounge, at least those who are actually able to come and talk a little sports and aren't totally preoccupied with our other aspects of the lounge. We have the Three Musketeers, Tres Amigos, three guys who have been there from the beginning, the fiery combustible, Keith Schmidt. I know he's fired up tonight, too. How you doing, Keith?
I'm fantastic, Cowboy. Let's get this on and popping.
All right. And also joining myself and Keith is straw that stirs the drink here in the lounge. My dad, Cowboy Senior. How you doing, Cowboy Senior?
I'm doing great. Rearing up for a great week 14 after a pretty interesting week 13. There's probably a few topics that I'm really ready to talk about. I can't wait. It was hard waiting until Friday for this.
None of us can imagine what those topics could be, Cowboy Senior. We'll try to throw darts at the board until we hit them. Interestingly enough, we generally tape this before Thursday, so we're actually one game into week 14. And I can safely say that Keith Senior and your host, the Cowboy, would all be starting for Chicago's defense right now. Were we in the Windy City after that non-performance by them last night? Cowboys kind of tried to let him back in, but I don't think it was ever really a game. What a terrible defense they have. Terrible, terrible defense they have. And as Cowboy Senior said, we're going to go over some Week 13 games, take a look forward to Week 14. Been a crazy NFL season. Really, really has. And, you know, being this is our first season on the Sports Lounge where we're doing the podcast every week, you know, it's really shown me how much things change week to week. Things that we think are, we always speak in like absolutes, right? Like this is the best team in football and this is the best player in football. And literally every week I feel differently. So this week, after last week, we had a great game on Sunday. Possible Super Bowl preview. A lot of people calling it a Super Bowl preview, and it's a game that actually lived up to the hype with the hometown New England Patriots heading to Lambeau Field to take on the white-hot Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And just a great game, well-played game, well-coached game. No one's giving the game away. It was a good game. The Packers came out on top, which, if they're really a Super Bowl team, they're supposed to win that game at home. The Patriots played well. The Patriots played well. That's a real tough assignment going into Green Bay. They're almost impossible to beat there. Rodgers is really on another level right now. So I'm just going to turn it over to Keith. I know he had some thoughts on the game. So how'd you break that one down, Keith? What'd you see?
Well, everything you just said rang true to me. I mean, this was, you know, this wasn't the Super Bowl preview. I don't know what could be. Green Bay, you know, right now is the best team in the NFC. And the Patriots, to me, are the best team in the AFC. They met up in Lambeau. You know, Green Bay had a little advantage being at home. I think the biggest thing, the contributing factor to Green Bay winning was the third cornerback, third wide receiver matchup, Davante Adams against either Kyle Arrington, Alfonso Dennard, or Logan Ryan for the Pats. And Aaron Rodgers just seemed to find wherever that third corner was, and he kept going to him. And that's what essentially won the game for Green Bay. I think both defenses played pretty well, considering, I mean, these are the two highest scoring teams in the league. So what was the final there? 26-21?
That's correct.
You know, I mean, that you know, it was a great game. No turnovers. It was a nice, clean game. As far as the hype went coming into the game, I think it was the best game of the season. I'm sure there's been other games that had, you know, photo finishes and whatnot that may have been better games than this one. But as far as when you consider all the hype that went into it, this was the best game of the year. And I'm a Patriots fan, so, you know, I wasn't very happy with the outcome. But considering, you know, like I said, the two best teams in the league, this was a great game to watch. Aaron Rodgers, like you said, above and beyond. I mean, that final play of the game, that iced it, where he hit Randall Cobb for like a 6-yard pass there on a third and four to end the game. There aren't many quarterbacks in the league that could make that pass. You know, the money. The Pats had great coverage on that play. And Cobb just found the seam, and Rodgers put it right on him, and that was the game. But, I mean, it was awesome to watch. And I hope we see a rematch.
And I think there's a real good chance of that. I'm a little... I know we've come kind of... there's a bit of a 180 here for the Cowboy, but I'm a little more confident in the Patriots coming out of the AFC. I picked the Packers to win the Super Bowl this year. And if they're going to do it, this is how they do it, right? They need home. I think having home field through the playoffs is huge for them. I have those losses to San Francisco stuck in my head. And I have what Seattle did to them the first game of the season stuck in my head. And I have it in my head that they just don't match up good to those kind of teams. And San Francisco is not a threat at this point, but Seattle's really coming on. I know they're not the same team away from home, but if Green Bay runs into them in the playoffs, even in Lambeau, I think that's a tall order for Green Bay just based on the matchup. What do you think, Senior?
It is definitely, but if they play them, well, you just touched on the importance of playing at home. We look at the NFL right now, and we're saying Green Bay and the Patriots, okay, they look like the leaders to go into the Super Bowl. And then just a short, the other two teams that could get there, I think Seattle and Denver. I think it's really come down to those four teams right now. And the importance of the rest of this regular season schedule is huge for all four of them, because really in both ways, Patriots, Denver, Seattle, Green Bay, in a title game, home field is just ginormous. All four of those teams don't lose games at home. Going to be really hard to beat at home. I'm not saying that any of them aren't capable of beating the other on the road, but I certainly give a big advantage to the home team in those matchups. So these last 14, 15, 16, 17, 4 weeks of the regular season are just huge. I mean, it makes it interesting to watch these four teams. And who knows, things change so much by after week 17. Maybe it won't be those four teams anymore. Maybe it'll be somebody else.
Nope.
You know, if Seattle loses to Philly this week in Philly, all of a sudden we're probably not going to be saying they're the threat in the NFC. We'll be saying the Eagles are. Especially when, you know, this is the one thing I'm looking at with the Eagles. I don't mean to bounce around, but what the heck, right? That's what I'm doing. I'm jumping around here. Watching that game last night, and I know it was the Bears, but basically almost every time I've watched the Cowboys this year, that offensive line of theirs is just dominant. It's a great offensive line. I mean, that's why DeMarco Murray has like about 500 yards more than any other running back in the league. He's running behind those guys. They're young. They're athletic. They're strong. They're just tremendous offensive line. But, yep, in that game against Philly 2 weeks ago, the Philly defensive front seven made that Cowboy offensive line look bad. They dominated them. The only team I've seen able to do that. And if they can play like that, maybe Philly would be the other team in the mix. So that's a great game this weekend. Seattle at Philly. That's going to be an interesting one to watch. But, okay, I still say it's those four teams. Okay, Seattle and Green Bay, Patriots and Denver. And I don't think it's going out on a limb to say the team that has home field advantage through the playoffs among those four, the two that have home field advantage, are going to be the two teams that meet in Arizona in January. So you got a great finish to the season. It's been a real interesting season, and I think it's just amping up now, and it's just going to get better. The NFL's just had a great year, and it's going to get better.
I agree 100%, senior. 100%.
So I think the Thanksgiving game was a bit of an apparition, and I have trouble putting Philly on the level. I mean, their defense has played good, but their defense has been very opportunistic and taking advantage of mistakes. I mean, they're the number one scoring. I believe they scored more touchdowns than any other defense in the NFL. That is an interesting game this week. It's a tough one to call. You know, I mean, the high-flying offense. Seattle's offense is playing a little bit better. I think you can throw on Philly, so I think it's going to come down to Wilson doesn't have a lot of guys to throw to there, but you know he's capable of being very good. So for them to win, he's going to have a big game. And I mean, if you're Dallas, do you even want to win the division? Don't you want to just? I mean, things are perfectly set up for them to just play on the road the whole playoffs. They're undefeated.
Well, yeah, they're 6-0 on the road, right?
6-0 on the road, right? So it's two Atlanta or New Orleans in round one, right? They're a team that they can play with Green Bay. Green Bay's defense is suspect. I mean, I know they played good against the Patriots. They're still a little suspect, and I keep thinking about what New Orleans did to them. We didn't have a lounge that week because I was in Aruba, but I think about what New Orleans did to them. And again, they're a great team, and I think they're one of those teams. They can beat anybody, and they could absolutely, if they stay this hot, they could run the table, right? But I think they're also kind of capable of going out there and losing to anybody. And so it's exciting.
On the road, yes. At home, nobody's close to them. You know what I mean? Other than the Patriots, all there, and the Patriots are that good. That's why. But other than that, all of their home games, they just blow teams out. But they go on the road, and they really are the epitome of the team that's a really different team, you know. Their last two road games were a 3-point win over Minnesota, and they're getting blown away at New Orleans. And yet at home, other than against the Patriots lately, they're beating people by 35, 40 points. They're putting up 50, 55. They are vulnerable on the road. There's no doubt. That's why the rest of the regular season is so critical. If you get them on the road, a lot of teams could beat them. But
Green Bay is the epitome of a front-running team. If they get out to a lead on you, watch out, because then they get the pass rush going, and their defense becomes that much better because you're one-dimensional. You have to throw the ball to catch up with them. But you're right, though. If they get into a dogfight type game, you know, like possibly with Seattle, I mean, anything can happen there. But I personally agree with your first assessment there, senior, with whoever's at home in the championship game, and I'm taking Philly out of it. I'm sorry, I don't think they're good enough. They won't beat Seattle or Green Bay, home or away. I don't think so. I think it's going to come down to one of those two teams coming out of the NFC, and that's the way I feel about that. So I like Sanchez. I like the Eagles, but, you know, yeah, they might win this division. They might outtake, overdo the Cowboys there. But other than that, I mean, when they hit the playoffs, unless they're at home, you know, it'll get them so far. But if they have to play Green Bay or Seattle, they're done. Yeah. They can't beat them.
Philly's undefeated at home, too. So you Philly, Green Bay, New England, Arizona, and Denver. Are the five teams that are undefeated at home this season, all 6-0. So, going to be interesting. So, What do you think about
who has Philly played at home? Who have they beaten at home?
Everybody you put in front of them, Keith.
No, I get it, but I'm saying though, honestly, I'm actually asking this question, no answer, but I don't know. I think they're pretenders.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, their best home win is, it's pretty bad, St. Louis.
Yeah, they haven't played Dallas yet. That's 2 weeks. The next 2 weeks,
but they beat
home
Dallas.
They beat Dallas in Dallas.
Right, they won in Indy too, which is a nice win. They won in Houston, which is a nice win. There.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ask them to be in a real good team at home yet when they haven't played one.
All right. So we'll back to back. Seattle and then Dallas next week. Exactly. So
we'll see the next 2 weeks. If they win this Sunday, we're all going to come back on the lounge next week and say, look out for Philly. They could be that team.
Yeah, you're right. But
Seattle this Sunday, and that's the way this league goes, you know.
So, Senior, who do you like on Sunday? Let's get a pick. That's probably the game of the week right there. Who's your who are you getting behind?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. It's I'm going to go with the home team. I'm putting big thoughts about being home. You know, it's just so important. Seattle's been on a good roll lately, but Philly really impressed me Thanksgiving, especially when you're playing that good at the line of scrimmage, you're going to be tough. I mean, nobody wants to believe in Philly, but here I am looking at their schedule, and their last five games, they've won them all. Oh, no, other than the loss at Green Bay. Okay, but that happens to everybody. Four out of their last real convincing wins, you know. And 33-10 over Dallas. I know Dallas has lost games at home, but still, what they did to the Dallas offensive line really, really impressed me. If their defensive front can play like that, Seattle's not going to score a whole bunch of points. And I know Seattle's got a great D, but they're not as good on the road. And I see the Chip Kelly offense putting some points up against them. So, yeah, I like Philly in a close game over Seattle because of the home field. I'm probably going to I went on that one, but that's okay. I'll go with the Eagles. Sanchez, Eagles, baby.
Who do you like, Keith?
I'll tell you what. If Philly can beat Seattle this week, drinks are on me in the lounge next week. Not going to happen.
I'll be there with bells on.
Not going to happen. The only real team they've played in the last 6 weeks is Green Bay, and they got their ass whipped. They played a close game with Arizona back in October. But other than that, they haven't played a real team on their schedule all season. All jokers.
The real team?
Oh, who?
The Cowboys. They just beat them 33-10. You don't call that?
Like I just said, they haven't played a real team yet. The Cowboys are pretenders, man. The Cowboys are garbage. Look, if the Cowboys make the playoffs, if they happen to make the playoffs, they'll be out in the first round. Unless they play Atlanta. Other than that, they're going to get their ass whipped in the first round. See you later. The Cowboys are jokes. They're a joke. I don't care what they did yesterday against Chicago. Chicago's terrible.
Sounds to me.
Dallas is not a good team.
We talked a little about Dallas here on the lounge, and Keith's always been somewhat pro-Dallas, so maybe it's a certain Dallas fan that got under Keith's skin this week. I'm just guessing. I don't know. Maybe.
It could be. But it could be also that, you know, I've seen this team, man. I've seen this story before. Dude, they gave DeMarco Murray the ball, what, 40 times yesterday?
It was 41, Keith. 41 touches.
41 times. Try that again, man. The guy's not going to make it.
We've been saying that.
Give your running back the ball 40 times.
Another take on that I read today, and could be the case, is they think they're all in on Peterson in the offseason, so they're going to squeeze every last drop out of Murray. And if that's the case, I mean, it's terrible to do to the guy, but it's, you know, from a business standpoint, it does make sense if he stays upright. And he really, I mean, you know, maybe he's one of those guys who had some unlucky injuries, like Frank Gore, you know, couldn't stay on the field, and now you can't get him off, you know.
So. No, I mean, he's a big guy. He runs hard. But, I mean, I don't care who you are. You get the ball 40 times a game. Something's bound to break.
So
you know, you can't do that. You can't.
So I'm the tiebreaker here, and I this is a real tough game for me to call. And I think it comes down. I think the teams are pretty evenly matched, particularly because the game is in Philadelphia. In Seattle, I think it's a different story. What I think it comes down to is, I think Philly can move the ball on anybody. Right, that offense is just—it's different. I think they can move the ball on anybody. Seattle's best asset on defense is turning you over, and Mark Sanchez is playing quarterback for Philly, and he's played well. He has played well, but I'm going to go with Seattle, saying close game where Sanchez throws two picks in the game, and that ends up being the difference. If Seattle can't turn him over, I think Philly wins the game, but. I'm going to go with Seattle. I'm going to take the history with Sanchez and say he serves one or two up. But real good game. Can't wait to watch it.
On paper, it might look like a good game. I'm telling you, Seattle's going to kick their ass.
Yeah.
Double-digit win. Sanchez is going to look like the one from New York. Like I said, I still think Philly's going to win that division because I don't think Dallas is as good as.
And if that
this game here against Seattle, no, they got no shot.
And
they're going to get their ass.
Yeah, if they do lose, Keith, then I mean, in essence, the game next week probably is for the division, right? They're both coming.
Correct. They play each other, right?
They both come in 9-4. Yeah.
So. Yeah, and this one's in Philly, right?
Night so. In Philly, that place is going to be easy.
Absolutely.
That's more of a fair matchup. This game next week, this week here with Seattle, this is not a fair matchup. My opinion. I just think Seattle is hands down that much better than Philadelphia. Defense wins, right?
It does.
The old mantra.
It does.
So, I mean, I know they're on the road, so they're not going to be as good as they would be at home. But they're going to turn Sanchez over at least three times, and they're going to take this game easy.
Yeah, I mean, they've been playing great. Seattle's really been playing great. And I'm finding it with the way Drew Stanton's been playing out in Arizona. And just I feel bad for the Arizona fans. And
yeah,
because I mean they're a good team that's just gotten decimated, completely decimated by injuries, and Arians was able to pull the rabbit out of the hat for a while. But we talked about it last week on the lounge how brutal their schedule is, and I think that I think KC, they play KC this week, and I believe that's the reason, because I thought Atlanta was their easiest game. Left and they got smoked there. So
right.
Home for Kansas City at St. Louis, which is a lot more difficult than what it looked like a few weeks ago. Home for Seattle at San Francisco. They closed the season out. I mean, they're probably underdogs in all four of those games. And for them to start 9-1 and then miss the playoffs, which I think is really looking like a distinct pass. I'm not going to call it a probability yet, but I mean, they have to win this game this week against Kansas City, and I don't think they're going to. What do you think, Senior?
Well, just a little sidebar of that game. I think we here at the lounge can say something that Sports Illustrated doesn't have it all on us, okay? Our last show 2 weeks ago, Kansas City had just beaten Seattle, and we were all singing the praises of the Chiefs, calling them the old-fashioned team. They don't turn the ball over. They run the ball. You can't run on them. And we had it all going on. We all loved them. I went as far as to say, in 2 weeks, they're going to beat Denver. And the Chiefs went on to lose to the Raiders. And then, I know last week, if you look at the score of their game over against Denver, it doesn't look as bad as it was. But anybody who watched the game, they were never in the game. Never. They had no shot. They were never in the game. So I think it was the beginning of the sports lounge jinx. We put it on the Chiefs. When we're all unanimous all over something, so maybe if we all talk to Arizona saying Arizona's dead now, maybe they're going to rip off four wins in a row. I don't know. But, yeah, it really doesn't look good for them. And that, I think the biggest key was the injury to Carson Palmer. I mean, he was really playing well and wasn't really getting a whole lot of credit, you know, from anyone. Oh, it was the system. It was the Arians. It was Arians. It was Carson really was the defense. But Carson Palmer was really playing well. And Drew Stanton doesn't put the ball. I mean, it's a major, major drop-off. I know Arians saying all the right things. We don't change the playbook. We have the confidence that Drew can do everything that Carson did, yeah, but nowhere near as well, you know. That's big enough. Really, the guy that's been their most consistent offensive player all year, besides Carson, Andre Ellington, he's down. He's not playing in this game against the Chiefs. He is.
And Fitzgerald is. Fitzgerald's missed the last couple of games.
So reliant on the running game and so one-dimensional. Arizona can stay in this game at home. They have a shot. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. If I had to pick it, I would give the edge to the Chiefs for the reasons we just said, the quarterback being out and Ellington being out. But I wouldn't be shocked if Arizona wins this thing like 17-14 or something. It could be that kind of game where I would pick the Chiefs in a low-scoring game, but it's almost a flip of a coin game.
Yeah, I can see that, Senior. I mean, the Chiefs, I'd say we jinx them. Obviously, the Oakland game is a throwaway game, right? That's just, those things happen in the NFL sometimes. They don't generally happen to good teams. I agree with that. But if you watch them against Denver, it wasn't the Chiefs. The Chiefs defense played good. The Chiefs defense kept them in the game, and they just couldn't do anything offensively, really. And so you could see more of that.
Did you ever feel like they were in the game? Watching it, did you ever feel like the Chiefs were in that game? They fell behind early, and they looked like they had no shot to come back. I don't know. Like I say, you look at the score, and it doesn't look bad. But if you watch the game, I never thought they had a chance.
Yeah, I mean,
And I picked them to win.
I remember a lot of three and outs for the Broncos, which you don't see that often. That really stuck out. The Chiefs have a good defense, and Arizona's offense is bad, to your point. I mean, they're just decimated by injuries. So instead of Carson Palmer and Andre Ellington, it's Drew Stanton and Stephen Taylor. Fitzgerald might play, but if he plays, he's not going to be 100%. Michael Floyd has done an absolute disappearing act this year, and I don't know if it's because Stanton can't get him the ball or whatever. But, you know, talented guy who's not showing up on Sunday. And it's tough. I mean, if you look at Arizona, I mean, they scored 3 points at Seattle, and then they had 18. I mean, that is a deceiving score. I mean, Atlanta's defense is god-awful. They're right there with the Bears, and Atlanta's defense shut them down the whole game, and Arizona got cheap points at the end. They got a pick six was one of their touchdowns, and then they scored a completely meaningless touchdown in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, I think, you know, Jamal Charles, he's playing well, and Alex Smith doesn't really turn the ball over, so you're probably not going to get that defensive touchdown that Arizona might need to win. And it's going to be tough for him. It's going to be tough for him. And given the way their season started, I mean, you probably only have to win one more game and to make the playoffs, which I think they deserve. And I mean, whoever they get in the first round, they're just going to be cannon fodder for, you know, because, I mean, I think the division's pretty much off the table at this point for them. I mean, they'd have to win two more, with one of those two being the home game against Seattle, week 16. And, I mean, that is a tall order for this team, the way they're playing. But I like Kansas City. I'm not going to say by double digits, but I do see the low-scoring game. And in the low-scoring game, the team that doesn't make mistakes tends to win, and Stanton tends to make an occasional mistake. So, but you agree with that, Keith, or are you going with Senior?
I think this is a flip-of-the-coin type of game. I think they're very similar, these two teams. Neither one can really score, you know, in abundance. They both, you know, control the clock, play good defense type of team. You know, get them opportunities and you know, take advantage of turnovers and whatnot. But I agree with you about the division. I, unless they can beat Seattle at home in 2 weeks, they're done. They may make the playoffs, though, because they have a good record, you know, already. So, I mean, they'd really have to fall off to fall out of the playoff race. But like you said, their schedule is something nice. But I if they beat Kansas City this week, I wouldn't be surprised. They have a good run defense. And Kansas City, obviously, their strength is running the ball. So, you know, but Drew Stanton, I mean, he's taking that team down. I mean, with Carson Palmer, they had a chance. But with Stanton, now that he's starting every week, and teams can game plan for him every week, rather than before when he played a couple good games. But Carson Palmer.
So do you think that, I mean, we say when they have a good run defense, I think it could be a bit of a tired run defense. They're on the field so much. I mean, they made Steven Jackson look like he was 25 again last week, senior.
But 150-yard run. Nah, he was average.
Right, absolutely. So, all right. So it's been an excellent first segment here. We're gonna go to break, and on the break, you'll hear more about what we have to offer here at Place to Be Nation. So whether you're a sports fan, whether you're a wrestling fan, pop culture, we're currently running a 90s best song of the 90s tournament with two groupings posted every day. And there's a lot of debate going on internally about that. So please vote on that. Please enjoy the break, and your favorite sports loungers will be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling, we talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on PlaceToBeNation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar. Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richer and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Sports Lounge. Hope you enjoyed the break. I know we sure did. We always enjoy the breaks here in the Sports Lounge. It's a fun place, whether we're talking sports or not. So it's a good back and forth there at the in the first segment. Apologize, it was so short. Had a little technical difficulty here in the lounge. Someone must have been streaming Netflix or something here in the lounge because. I was having some internet problems, but I think we have those squared away, so you're going to get an extra long version of round two here. So, Senior, Keith, you guys ready?
Ready.
Ready to rock and roll.
All right, so I wanted to start off segment two by talking about Senior's two favorite teams, well-chronicled. Again, if you're a Twitter user, which most people are, Senior really shares his thoughts on these two teams on Twitter. You can get him at Bogle Hill, BogleHill, or I retweet them from the Sports Lounge at P2B, P number 2B Sports Lounge. Giants and the Steelers. Senior, your call. Which one do you want to go with first?
Well, that's entirely up to you. Okay, I guess I can't wait to sink my teeth into the Steelers. So let's go Steelers first.
All right, so that's not the way I thought you would go. They both teams lost in Week 13. As Senior says, it was a perfect week. So they both lost. I thought the Giants' loss was more egregious because I don't think you can get more egregious than that. But the Steelers did lose at home to New Orleans, not exactly known as Road Warriors. 35-32. You look at that, you think the game was close. Senior will be the first to tell you the game was not close. A couple of garbage time touchdowns at the end with 2-point conversions, including a touchdown with no time left on the clock. With Antonio Brown got his stats, though, as he always does. So Why don't you break the game down for us, Senior, right down the middle, as we've become so accustomed to when it comes to Pittsburgh?
It's just unbelievable, these guys, you know? How they can look so good sometimes and then do things that you're just not supposed to do. Lose to teams you're not supposed to lose to, because, again, I told you at the beginning of the season, I'll stand by it. It's a bad locker room. It's a bad character. These guys just don't have that edge that you should have. They're not winners. They're a bunch of picks. I mean, this New Orleans team, New Orleans hasn't even been that good at home this year as they normally are. On the road, they're an absolute joke. Previous to this game with the high-flying Steelers, the Saints had a total of one road win this year, and that was against the very, very difficult Carolina Panthers in Week 9. Their only road win. So here the Steelers come in with everything in the world to play for. I mean, they're in this division that's completely up for grabs, that everybody's pretty much the same. You got to be ready to play, right? And what do? Their tremendous defense gives up 35 points. They just come in completely not ready to play. Typical Steelers. When it sets up, it looks like a game that they absolutely should win with no problem. You may as well pick them to lose. We'll kind of chronicle this season. I mean, mixed into this were some very impressive wins, but I don't even want to talk about them. They started the season at home against Cleveland and blew a 24-0 lead to the point where they had to pull it out at the end by kicking a field goal in overtime to win the game. 24-0 at halftime. Great way to start the season. Then they started to look okay. Well, not right away because they got killed the next week, but that was at Baltimore. But anyway, 3 weeks later, they lose at home to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Wonderful job, Steelers. And again, okay, they start to look okay again. Then they go and lose at the Jets. The Jets, they go to Tennessee and pull one out of the fire against the tough Titans, and they come back home to their home field, which, again, they're right in the middle of the playoff race. Everybody's even in that division, and they go and lose to New Orleans. These guys are a bunch of pigs. My comment on this division, though, you know, everybody, you know, what you keep hearing is, well, it's the best division in the NFL. Everybody's over 500. Baloney, it's a bunch of mediocrity. There really isn't a good team in the division. There really isn't. I mean, Cincinnati's a game and a half ahead, and it's, I don't know. You know, I thought they were a good team, but it's really hard to call Cincinnati a good team. You know, like last week, again, them with everything to play for, and they eke out that 14-13 win. I mean, it's just a bad division, but the Steelers are the ultimate pigs. This week, tough game at Cincinnati. I wouldn't even know how to predict it, because this is when these idiots tend to win, when they're in a tough game. When they're in a game they should win, they don't know how to play it, but I don't care. I'm still saying the Bengals beat them this week in Cincinnati, and we can officially put to rest any playoff hopes for this team. The only thing that bothers me about that is there's nothing more in the world I would like enjoy as a Patriot fan than to have our first playoff game this year, have these dogs come into Foxborough and get their asses literally handed to them on a plate by a real football team. They're pigs, they're bums, they have no character. It's like I've said before, there was a time that there was a steel curtain there. The most proud organization in professional football. These pigs do not deserve to wear that uniform. I'm apologizing to the city of Pittsburgh that you got to put up with these guys. They should be booed out of their home stadium every time they come into it. They suck.
Senior.
My feelings about it.
It's a little over the top, Senior. They're 7-5.
That is true. They keep proving it.
They're 7-5. I mean, frankly, if I were you with the stuff that you just said and have been saying all season, the last thing I would want is for Pittsburgh to come into New England just on the off chance they have one of those good games and beat the Patriots. You wouldn't be allowed
There's
back
no
on the
way
show.
That our Patriots would lose to these dogs in our home field. No way. In a playoff game, no chance, okay? Pigs are going to fly before that would happen.
But again, we're talking a hypothetical here. But if you look at the pattern of the Steelers, it's... that's a game that they show up for, and I agree they played bad this week. I'm week 13. Did you see anything on the field analysis wise other than just that they're pigs that you can point to, or they just laid down and died and that's it? I think they're gonna
just them.
I think they played better than Cincinnati did this week.
No, but they still lost to a team that can't beat anybody on the road. I mean, New Orleans is an absolute joke on the road. They should, you know, it shouldn't even be a game. You should walk right over them, and they lost. They scored 32 points and still lost. What a bunch of dogs.
I like Pittsburgh in Cincinnati this week. For a lot of the reason, Senior, I think Senior likes Pittsburgh too. He's just, you know, he just has to pick them to go 0-16. It's part of his podcast persona. But
I just think that's more of how he feels about Cincinnati than he does about Pittsburgh. Because obviously he thinks Pittsburgh's a dog, and I think he thinks Cincinnati's a dog as well.
Yeah, I think it's a bad division. And that's what everybody's
saying. Baltimore still scares me a little bit.
I shouldn't say scares me, but it was a bad loss. Their secondary's in shambles. I mean, Rivers can't throw for 200 yards against anybody anymore. And he did. I mean, you can't lose that game. I agree. I think that, you know, if you look at personnel-wise, they're the best team in the division. But I think that loss is going to keep them out of the playoffs. That's a bad, bad loss. In Senior, let me run New Orleans' road record by you, okay? We call them dogs. So opening game of the season at Atlanta, they lost 37-34 in overtime, okay? Next week at Cleveland again, not a bad team. They lost 26-24. At Dallas, they got waxed 38-17. At Detroit, another good team, they lost 24-23 right at the end, if you remember that game. They wasted Carolina 28-10. They're on a two-game road winning streak right now, beating Carolina and the Steelers.
That's right. Over two dogs, Carolina and the Steelers.
They had actually...
I mean, come on. You want to say those other games are impressive? I mean, they lost them all.
I didn't say they were impressive.
They're on the road.
They lost three games in a row at home before playing Pittsburgh.
Dogs.
But regardless...
The one shining thing... Pittsburgh can hold their head up about, they shut Jimmy Graham out of this game.
Yeah.
Took him right out.
At what cost? It's an awful game plan.
They gave up 35 points.
Yeah, I was being a little facetious there. They managed to take Graham out of the game, but they forgot that there was fucking four other wide receivers and running backs on the field. That's all they did.
You can put four guys on Gronkowski, too, and then, you know.
Right.
It doesn't matter when LaFell has four touchdowns. I mean, they made Kenny Stills look like Jerry fucking Rice.
This is what I'm trying to say. I mean, that's the only positive they can take out of this game. Hey, we didn't let Graham beat us. But other than that, I mean, they got waxed. I mean, like you said,
Le'Veon Bell was a positive. He's been a positive all season. I mean, he was awesome again. I mean, I mean, I think they should run him more. They're worried about his workload a little bit, but I mean, he's good enough that they could. Their defense is very suspect, very very suspect.
It's bad, and they could use him.
They could use him to keep teams off the field, and they throw a lot. But I think they're playing. I mean, they're not playing good, but I think they're playing better than Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati. That's about as bad of a win as you can possibly have against Tampa
Bay. And that should have been a loss.
Right.
That should have been a loss.
Absolutely. I mean, luckiest stuff at the end happened for them to get away with the win. And they've looked
the
so terrible.
The bogus challenge, right? I mean, come on. I don't know.
Well,
and yeah,
I think they
should have lost that game.
And Tampa was in field goal range and with under a minute left and took a penalty to knock them out of field goal range. I mean, it was...
Yeah, and it was... That bogus challenge. I mean, Marvin Lewis threw a flag, the challenge flag, when he was, first of all, out of challenges, or actually it was under 2 minutes.
It was
under
2 minutes, so...
So you're not supposed to be able to throw the flag. And they rewarded him. Yeah, okay, they took his time out. But they rewarded him by reviewing the play. How the fuck does that work?
It's the new rule.
Why is that rule in effect?
I can tell you why. It's the Justin Forsett rule. If you remember, it was when Forsett played for Houston. They were playing against Detroit, and
I remember.
And all touchdowns, just like all plays under 2 minutes, are automatically reviewed. And he had an 80-yard touchdown. Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, he was down after seven yards.
And
ran.
Schwartz threw the challenge flag, and the rule then was they weren't allowed to review it. So, in this case, you know, the correct call was made. I mean, shame on Tampa for having 12 guys on the field.
By the way, how the fuck do you have 12 offensive players on the field? I can see that on defense.
They're looking for
how the fuck is that happening on offense?
That's how you go
two plays in a row.
That's how you go 2-10, Keith. That's
two plays in a row.
So
come on, man.
Cincinnati, I don't think looks very good, but Cincinnati is has won 3 games in a row on the road, albeit in my opinion, pretty unimpressively. I mean, if they win this game, I mean they're really looking good for the division, and by all accounts, they should beat Pittsburgh. I mean, but Cincinnati's playing Pittsburgh twice in the last 4 weeks, so you've got them already punched that ticket for the division. But if they beat Pittsburgh in this game, I mean they're in good shape. But given the way this division's been, and specifically, I mean, with Senior spewing all this hate, it has focused. We focused a little more on the Pittsburgh Steelers here on the lounge than some other teams, and this is exactly the kind of game they come out and win big. I like I like the Steelers, and I like them big in this game. Who do you like, Keith?
Really, at Cincinnati? I see this more as a dogfight kind of game. Field goal game, you know, like a 17-13 type game. Shit. If you held my feet to the fire, I'm going to take the home team in this one.
All right.
I'm going to take Natty, but I think they'll return the favor when they play that last week.
I think that if it is a close game and Andy Dalton's on one side, that's the other thing. This is a big game. Andy doesn't do good in the spotlight.
It's true. That's very true.
We'll see. We'll see. But
kind of leads me to a question. I'm going to bounce this off you guys about Cincinnati, okay? Well, we're saying none of us are impressed with Cincinnati. I'm agreeing, okay? I thought they were better. But I'm looking at their last 4 games against Cleveland, at home for Cleveland, at New Orleans, at Houston, at Tampa Bay. They gave up 3, 10, 13, and 13.
They lost 24-3 to Cleveland Senior.
Oh, okay, 24. Okay, so the last 3 then, 10, 13, 13. The defense hasn't been bad. At New Orleans giving up 10 points over there.
Oh, no, they have a good defense.
Their running game's been okay. Man, you've got a healthy A.J. Green now. You've got Mohamed Sanu on the other side. You've got a running game with a two-headed running back that's supporting you, and Bernard's also good coming out of the backfield. Why aren't they passing the ball well? Is this an indictment on Andy Dalton? I mean, really. I mean, you look at those
weapons. Is that a serious question?
He shouldn't be throwing for 175, 200 yards a game, you know? Then they should be scoring more points. I mean, the weapons are there. The offensive line's playing pretty good. And again, now that Hill has emerged, you really do have a good two-headed monster as a running back. And while Green was out, Sanu really showed us a lot. You know, you got 2 really good wideouts. I mean, you really have to start questioning Andy Dalton. And
start. Senior, are you serious? Serious question. Yes, it's an indictment on Andy Dalton. Yes, he's he is bottom 5, interchangeable with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Kyle Orton and those guys. Andy Dalton's not very good. They win in spite of him. Absolutely in spite of him. He's like T-Rich in that way, you know? Yeah, I think you put almost
any.
He doesn't get hurt, though, so you can't see. He's bad. He's got all sorts of weapons. Yeah. Yeah, great weapons. I mean, do you think... I mean, He's not playing half as well as Carson Palmer did in Arizona, with kind of similar weapons. And Carson Palmer is not known as like Mr. Top 10 quarterback. Dalton is the sole reason that they can't move on in the playoffs, and that they keep folding when the lights are on. Do you agree with me, Keith? Sorry, Senior. I wasn't mocking you there. I thought.
He's not bad. You know, that's what I'm saying. And when you start to look at it, the only knock you ever hear on him is, well, he gets to the playoffs and he can't win. But you're looking at the way they've been winning this year, and you look at what he has to work with, and the fact that the rest, everything else about the team is pretty good. The defense is pretty good. The running game is good. How come the passing game isn't better?
He's got the Jay Cutler syndrome. All the talent in the world, but he's got a $1 million arm and a 10-cent fucking head.
Dalton doesn't have a $1 million arm.
He can make a lot of throws, man. He's got a cannon. It just, he doesn't make the right decisions. I mean, think of all the passes you've seen him throw, AJ Green.
Just throw touchdown it up. All he does touchdown is throw it up. Touchdown. I mean, I could do it.
I'm not saying that. Well, this is what I mean by comparing him to Jay Cutler.
If you put Cutler on the Bengals, I think they'd be a Super Bowl contender. Want.
Oh, I don't think so. I think Cutler's the same as Andy Dalton. They're interchangeable. They're the same player.
Oh, I disagree.
They can look fantastic and make that great throw, and then the next play they throw in a triple coverage.
To me, Andy Dalton is like a more mistake prone Alex Smith. I mean, he doesn't throw the ball downfield.
I think that's a shot at Alex Smith.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, I mean, I think
Dalton,
it kind of...
Dalton can throw the ball down the field.
Yeah, but he's a conservative kind of quarterback, and he still throws a lot of... He's bad. I mean,
I agree.
But for different reasons, regardless, Senior, that is, in your cohorts in the lounge opinion, that is the sole reason holding this team back. If you put your buddy Ben Roethlisberger on that team, they'd win the division by 4 games.
And you know what? I agree with you. I agree. Because, I mean, they came in, they were supposed to have a great defense this year.
I picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
They had some injuries now, but still. I mean, I don't know, man. This team, some of this has to fall back on my opinion. I think Marvin Lewis has been there way too long, and he needs to go. Because he's not getting the job done.
It's a new offensive coordinator, you know, and they're supposed to be run heavy, and then they've done that. But it just seems like whenever, you know, they win the ones they're supposed to win for the most part, but they just look bad a lot. They just look bad to me. And I like I said, I picked them to make the Super Bowl, and they're 8-3-1, a good record. But I just don't see it. I just don't see it with them. I think they need to move on from Dalton. I think he could honestly be a landing spot for RG3, who would be Cincinnati, if he can ever straighten his head out. I mean,
I don't see it though, because I mean, they just gave him all kinds of money, didn't they?
Yeah,
they signed him to a big deal.
But it was one of those
deals.
He's not
going anywhere.
But it was one of those deals that was like Kaepernick's deal that the team can get out of it. If I'm not mistaken, like Kaepernick signed a huge deal too, but the team can get out of it after 2 years. Yeah. So
it's a front-loaded kind of contract. Huh?
Yeah, team options for the end of it. So
yeah, but I don't know.
I mean, if he doesn't win a playoff, I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but I think he's locked up for the next 2 years. If he doesn't win a playoff game in the next 2 years, he's gone. Definitely. Mm-hmm. And if they don't do it this year, I think they bring in competition next year. Because to Senior's point, the roster's loaded. The roster's absolutely loaded, and they.
Yeah, I mean, especially defensively. I mean, this was a top 10 defense last year.
Yeah,
maybe higher.
Perfect being hurt all season has hurt them a lot, and they will get him back for the playoff push. But Yeah.
If he can stay concussion-free, I mean, that was his problem, right, this year when he came back. I mean, it was like he came back and he made three plays and boom, concussion.
Two of which were trying to break Cam Newton and Greg Olsen's ankles.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens.
All right. So I think we're all kind of, we're all a little tepid on the, on this division.
What about Cleveland?
I still say don't care. I was just going to say that, Keith. Great minds think alike, my friend.
Johnny Football, baby.
I was going to just say don't count Cleveland out yet. They got to beat Indianapolis at home this week, and that's a tall order. That's a tall order, but it's not an impossible order with Indianapolis's defense. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think they may be able to pound Crowell, hit Josh deep a couple times, and pull that one out. It's a if they lose that, they're pretty much done, right? I mean, the 10-6, I don't think wins that division. It could, but and yeah,
well, we'll see. I mean, you are talking about Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cincinnati, so
that's
you
true.
Never know.
And Cleveland plays Cincinnati at home the next week. And then at Baltimore, the last game of the season. But we'll see. Anything to add here, Senior? Or would you like to move on to the Giants?
Well, it looks. No, we've all. Cleveland's the team we all want to root for. You can't help it, but I don't know. You know, I find it hard to picture them winning the division. But I don't know. It seems like we, you know, reality is finally starting to set in with the Browns the last few weeks. They haven't been very impressive at all, you know. Losing two out of the last three to Houston and Buffalo, barely pulling one out against Atlanta. I really don't see them beating Indy. It's just starting to break down their offense. I don't know. I just don't think they have enough. I think they've really done well with what they have. Part of it being that, honestly, the other teams in their division, you get to play them each twice, and I know there's some nice records there, but I think they're all very mediocre. You know, I think the Browns have, you know, are probably going to finish the season at like 9-7, and really you're going to consider that a good year for them. I think they've kind of hit their ceiling. So I could be wrong. Maybe me saying that, they're going to go out and whip Indianapolis this week. Who knows? But I don't see it. I see Luck putting up a lot of points against them, and they just can't put up enough points to keep up. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, and very well. And, I mean, I'm sure that's kind of the prevailing theory. If you're going to be a playoff team, it's a gut-check game for Cleveland. Must win. Tough team. But it is on their home field. So I also think Indy's going to win the game. But I'll be pulling for Cleveland. We'll say that. I do like that squad. And what do you guys think about? I mean, that was a big story this week. You think they did the right thing with Hoyer and Manziel from a football standpoint?
What I don't understand
I would say
about
this.
Go ahead,
Keith. Go ahead, Senior. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
What I don't understand about the whole thing is when Pettin was asked the question early in the week and he said, "I haven't decided yet, and we're going to let you know later in the week. I'm just going to go with the guy that gives us the best chance to win. We've got to look at this." At that point, you think he's laying the groundwork that he's going to start Johnny Football. If he's going to stay with Hoyer, why is he saying these things? And then two days later, he says, "We're going with Brian Hoyer." That completely didn't make any sense to me. I mean, if he was going to go with Hoyer, just stay with the guy he's been going with all year, why in the world did he not just say it right away? I thought that was kind of odd. I think, you know, we all like Hoyer. He's an easy guy to root for. He's a likable guy. But what I said about that team has a ceiling, I think you can say that about him, too. I don't think he's the guy that you're gonna really go to the promised land with. Not that this team is ready to go to the promised land. I mean, he's won this year. But if you look at his numbers, they're very pedestrian. 12 touchdowns, 11 picks. You know, he plays conservative. Kind of makes some plays in key situations, I'll give him that. But I guess if you're staying with your season and thinking that you still have a chance to make the playoffs, it's a tough time to make a change. And I guess that's the way they're looking at it. I think if they lose this week, and especially if Cincinnati wins, it looks like that's it. They'd be 2.5 games behind them. I think then you would see Johnny Football play the last three games and they'd see what they have, because we don't know about Johnny Football. He could have a higher ceiling than Hoyer. He could also kill you. You know, you're not quite sure with what you're getting. And I guess that's the decision that they made, is we've got to keep playing like we're in this playoff race, and we're going to go with the safe play and Brian Hoyer. It's the way I look at that decision.
Keith?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. I think I from what I read and heard, a lot of the players are happy that they're staying with Hoyer. You know, I mean, it's been his team all year. But I'll be honest, if you go to halftime and Indy's up by a couple scores, you're going to see Johnny Football come out in the second half. I mean, it was kind of a death wish for Hoyer, unless he plays perfect. Put it this way, if Cleveland's not in the lead at halftime, Hoyer's coming out. That's just going to be the way it is, and it's going to be Johnny Football's team from there out. I mean, that's the way I see it. I mean, I think the team gave him a big round of support. You know, yeah, this is Hoyer's team. Let's go, let's go, let's go. But like I said, unless he plays a perfect game, you know, in this first half, he won't finish this game. I don't think so, anyway. And Johnny Manziel will take over from here on out, and we'll see. I mean, they had a great season, you know, better than expected so far. And, you know, they could still finish, you know, 500 or better. So we'll see. But I think Manziel's time's coming halftime this week. You know, it's the worst opponent they could be playing, too, because Indy's probably going to put up, you know, 21 points on them by the half. And Cleveland's not a team that scores like that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think you'll see Manziel by halftime.
Yeah, very well, very, very well could, Keith. I know Hoyer's on a short leash. If they're down 28-21 or something, I mean, and it's that, and then I don't think that that's the case. But if he plays like he's played the last three games, then
yeah,
he's gonna get the hook. I think I would almost say regardless of the score, because I could see a scenario where their defense is keeping them in it, and Hoyer's a three and out machine where they pull them even if they're not behind.
Still pick, right.
But
yeah.
I agree with the decision they made for the reason Senior said. It seems like Hoyer's really got the locker room behind him, too.
Yeah, right.
And so
right.
I think, you know, the last thing you want is the team, you know, for the playoff push, the team pissed off about something. So
right, rebelling and whatnot.
You let Hoyer go out there and prove that he doesn't belong, basically. And if he does it, he doesn't. And I don't know if Johnny Football gives him a better chance to win. He certainly added some life to the offense, and it's kind of what I envisioned it to be at the beginning of the year. With him, with a team without a ton of talent on offense, you know, that he can do some stuff with his legs that Hoyer can't to move the football. As a passer, he's pretty much kind of like what Kaepernick was his first year, which is if the first read's not there, he's probably going to take off running.
Take off, yep.
Which you know, that's what Tebow did. You know, it works for a few games, but we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
When your first option is Josh Gordon, I mean, that's a pretty good recipe right there for success. So
one
we'll see.
So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think he's. If he comes into it, you know, let's say halftime at this week, he's got a pretty good opportunity to take advantage of it. You know, you got a number one wide receiver against a defense that's not very good. Indy's not very good, especially on the road.
Well, Vontae Davis most likely.
Yeah, and he's hurt, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And
so,
he's a shutdown corner, so Gordon's going to be up against guys like, you know, the immortal Darius Butler,
right. So, I mean, and he's the type of guy where you can throw the ball up, and even if it's off target, you know, kind of like a Calvin Johnson, where he's going to make up for your bad throw and go get that ball anyway. You know, I mean, it's his third game back. He's getting back in the rhythm. He's a great receiver. Great receiver. So that mixed in with the fact that he can actually run the ball, you know, if a play breaks down, I think Johnny Manziel will do all right this week.
We'll see.
If he comes in. Now, next week, when they play Cincinnati, might be a little different. But then they got, what, Carolina and then Baltimore. So we'll see.
On the road. But, yeah.
You know, hey, I'm actually rooting for Brian Hoyer to keep the team this year. You know, I'm rooting for him. I mean, he's done decent this year. He's not going to, you know, he's not Tony Romo, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. He's not going to win you games. But as long as he doesn't lose you games, he can keep you in the game. You know, I put him in the same category with Andy Dalton.
I was just going to say, he's every bit as good as Andy Dalton.
Right. They're the same QB. You know, he can make those throws, but then again, he's going to throw in a double coverage here and there. You just got to deal with it. But I don't know. I just think it's time for Cleveland to find out what they got with Manziel because, you know, now, like you said earlier, if this game is close, you stick with Hoyer. But if Indy gets out to a 2-3 touchdown lead, all right, it's time. I mean, you're not going anywhere. So let's see what we got with Manziel. Let Johnny Football get out there. Flash the fingers.
All right, guys. So before we get to the Giants, we're exactly three quarters of the way through the season here. We haven't done this in a while. So let's go through kind of lightning round. We don't need to spend hours on it. But let's pick our division winners, two wild card teams. AFC, NFC title game, Super Bowl champion. You guys good with that?
Good.
Senior, start us off. NFC East.
Okay, NFC East, Philly. NFC North, Green Bay. NFC South, Atlanta. NFC West, Seattle. Now, title game?
Wild cards.
Oh, okay. My two wild cards. That's right. Dallas and Arizona. Title game. Seattle goes into Green Bay. Green Bay wins.
Going with the chalk. All right.
AFC. New England. This big division. Cincinnati. Indy. Denver, wild cards, I'm going to go Miami and San Diego.
Ooh.
Title game, Denver comes into New England, New England wins. New England beats Green Bay in Arizona.
All right, Keith, you're up,
buddy. I like it. Mine are very similar. All right, let's see. Start with the NFC. We're going to go Philly. Seattle, New Orleans, and what am I forgetting?
Green Bay or Detroit?
Green Bay. No, I got Green Bay. And my wild cards, I'm gonna put Detroit in the playoffs and Arizona. Green Bay hosts Seattle, and they win. AFC, New England, Denver, Baltimore, and what am I forgetting? Indy. Wild cards. Oh, here you go. You ready? Oh, I don't know. We'll go Cincinnati and Miami. New England beats Denver and then beats the Packers in the Super Bowl. I think what we watched last week was a preview, two best teams in the league, and as long as Green Bay has home field advantage, they'll beat Seattle. If Seattle has home field advantage, they'll beat Green Bay and they'll meet New England. But New England is going.
All right, I'm up, and then we can talk about it a little bit. So NFC East, I'm going to pick Dallas. Okay. NFC North, Green Bay. NFC South, I also like New Orleans, Keith. NFC West, I like Seattle in a big way. NFC Wild Cards, Philly and Detroit. I think Arizona's going to lose out.
Okay.
All right. AFC, Patriots, clearly. Pittsburgh.
Ooh!
The Indianapolis and Denver with your wild card teams, Baltimore and Kansas City.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
I like it. I like it.
I don't think it's that crazy, senior. So your San Diego, your San Diego pick, I took issue with, even though they're 8-4, just because of their remaining schedule. It's going to be tough for them to go better than 9-7.
They go New England. They got Denver.
New England, home for Denver, at San Francisco, at Kansas City.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it's about as bad as it gets, you know.
Yeah, it is. They win the last two.
On the road, the way they're playing?
Yeah. I don't see New England or Denver losing another game. So.
All right. I didn't give you my Super Bowl and stuff. So.
Okay.
Keep going, Cowboy.
Man, I hate to be.
Go ahead, piggyback. Go ahead. Don't worry about it.
I'm gonna have Dallas. Dallas going into Green Bay. In the NFC title game and winning. So Dallas coming out of the NFC.
Are you serious?
They don't lose on the road, man. They don't lose on the road. They're going
Tony
into
Romo's
Seattle.
Tony Romo's not
going
to have to hold a punt, a field goal kick, is he?
I'm all in. I love what I read. I love what I read about running Murray into the ground. I'm all for it.
Okay.
In the AFC, I think it's really tough not to pick Denver going into New England and New England winning that game.
There you go.
And then I'll hop on the bandwagon and say the Cowboys will beat the Patriots. Excuse me.
What?
The Patriots will beat the Patriots will beat the Cowboys.
I was about ready to smack you, silly.
In a closer than expected game in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. 43-21.
We're not putting the Sports Lounge jinx on the path.
Well, you guys 43-21.
That's a close game.
If we are putting the Sports Lounge jinx on the Pats, we'll just have Rock on to reverse it for us. So
great Tom Brady. Time.
Let me explain Dallas, okay? I mean, some of this is just the football gods thing. You know, I feel like they've been so unlucky for so long, and they got over the 8-win hump this week, which is huge for them, right? I mean, they always finish eight and eight, and I like their guys on offense as far as winning the big one, which I know is crazy to say with Romo, but Dez Bryant's a freaking warrior. If I need one game, and I need, I mean, he is a fiery dude. He is a fiery dude, and he's a great receiver, and he rises to the occasion. And I want him. Their ability to run the ball is better. I mean, a lot better than anyone in the NFC, and they can slow the game down that way behind the offensive line. And they can do it in a way like they used to do it. Pound Emmett, throw it up to Irvin. I see the same thing. Now, the rub in that is their defense isn't as good as their Super Bowl winning teams. But I think Lady Luck's going to be on their side this year. I think they match up pretty well. I mean, I'm basing some of that, Keith, on the fact that they went into Seattle and won already this year. I mean... They went in there, they won, and they kicked their ass. They didn't just get.
You're right. They did. They beat them, but A, The Legion of Boom was not healthy. And Seattle cannot score like Green Bay can. If they go into Green Bay, they will get embarrassed. They will get their ass whipped. Something nice.
I mean, you can run. You can run a little bit on Green Bay, and I think
you can.
I mean, that's
but the problem is you wait 6 minutes running the ball. You might even score a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers takes the ball down on your weak ass defense. 4 plays later, Jordy Nelson is doing a dance in the end zone. I mean, they cannot stop Green Bay. No chance.
You don't think especially that they could
in Green Bay.
You don't think they could do a reasonable impersonation of what the Patriots did last week?
No. No, ben, not ben, even close.
Ben, but don't break.
They don't have Darrell
Reeves at the end.
Brandon Browner. They don't have those guys. No chance. No, and listen, any other team that went into Green Bay last week would have got beat by 30. Okay? Darrell Reeves and Brandon Browner. If you look at that box score, if you watch the game, the box score didn't even tell the tale. Because it looks like Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb actually had good games.
I mean, Randall Cobb had a good game. Nelson had one big play.
Well, yeah, no, Cobb had some decent over-the-middle 4, 5, 6 yard gains here and there. But I mean, Jordy Nelson was taken out of that game, except for that one play where he smoked Darrell Reeves on that play. And you know what? I've seen Jordy Nelson do that all season. Same fucking play. Same play! He goes over, goes down about 6, 7 yards, and then he cuts into a slant, and he gets hit right on the money in stride and just stretches the entire field. Goes from one hash to the other, and it's over, touchdown. But other than that, no way, man. Cowboys can't. No way they can hang with them. No way.
We'll see.
Jordy Nelson will go ballistic.
We'll see. I'm sure I'll eat my words on this pick, but
oh, you will. You will. If they play Green Bay in Green Bay, it's over.
You gotta throw it out there sometimes over. Though. Sometimes you just gotta, you know, it's my name for Christ's sakes, Keith. You know, it's my name. I'm the cowboy. I support the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, you know, you don't have the apostrophe S on the side of your name, and you shouldn't. I mean, come on, man. you should change your name to Packer. You'd be better off that way.
Oh, well, that's a... I'll talk to you offline about that.
Oh, well, yeah.
All right, so... What do you guys think in the AFC? So, I mean, we're all in agreement. New England's coming out of the AFC. And I think that's probably... I mean, that's a pretty across the board, not just here on the lounge. Who do you guys think poses the greatest threat to them in the AFC? Senior.
There's no doubt it's Denver. No doubt. They're a really good team. I mean, especially if you'd have to go there. I mean, they're by far the next best team in the AFC. I mean, they're, you know, we watched them play again last week. I know the Pats handled them well when they played them, but you certainly can't. You can never count Peyton Manning out with all the weapons he has. You know, I wouldn't feel overconfident against Denver. There's nobody else in the conference that's even close to the threat that Denver is. They're it. That's it. It's a two-horse race in the AFC. And obviously we like the Patriots for a lot of reasons. They do look like a better team, but there's no doubt that you have to consider Denver a threat. You have to respect them with all the weapons they have on offense, with the Hall of Fame quarterback leading them, and with some pretty good pieces on defense now too, especially those pass rushers. You know, they're the team that gets your respect. You don't want to go in there. That's why you got to win the rest of these regular season games. You don't want to go into Denver. You play them. You want it to be here in your house. So
sure, of course.
No, I mean, that's an easy question to answer. There's nobody else who really is a threat besides Denver.
No, I mean, I wouldn't go that far. So, I mean, for me, there's a couple of teams match up pretty well to the Pats that would scare me a little bit coming into New England. Miami and Kansas City, I think they match up well to the Patriots. They can put pressure on the quarterback with their front four, which is something that you need to be able to do to beat the Patriots. And... They both beat the Patriots this year. What do you think, Keith? Do those teams, do you think this is just a different Pats team and that they would just wax either one of those teams in a playoff situation? Or do you think there's some validity to that, that they're, you know, styles make fights type of thing, and they have a style that could trouble the Patriots?
Well, to start with Kansas City, after seeing them the past few weeks, unless they jumped out to an early lead against the Patriots, they'd get waxed in the rematch. They cannot come from behind and win, Kansas City. They just can't. They don't throw the ball. Once they get down 10-0, game's over. I mean, that's what happened with Oakland. Oakland got up on them 14-0, and it was over. And you're talking about the Oakland Raiders, one of the worst teams in the league. I mean, they cannot come from behind. Miami would scare me a little bit, but not here in Foxborough. If we had to go to Miami, yeah, they would scare me. I mean, they already beat the Patriots, first of all. Second of all, like you said, they can rush the passer, but they can also score. You know, they got a deep threat in Wallace. They got Jarvis Landry, who's becoming a really good receiver. They got a good running game with Lamar Miller, and their defense is pretty good. But I think coming to Foxborough, it'd be a different story. We'll find out in 2 weeks. They play each other, so.
Yep. Yeah, big game. That's a huge game.
But I just don't, like I said, if it was reversed, if we had to go to Miami, they might scare me. But, I mean, Miami would have to win out, and the Pats would have to lose twice for that to happen. So I don't see that happening.
Now, speaking of Jarvis Landry, do you think Zach Mettenberger, when he came to the NFL, thought that his receivers wouldn't be as good as what he had at LSU with Landry and Beckham?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, he's got some decent receivers there, too, in Tennessee. Just what the hell's going on there?
They're all hurt now.
Lacerated spleen, right, for right. Hunter. And Kendall Wright, I think, has got a broken finger.
Yeah, they're number one this week. That, so. It's Nate Washington and Derek Hagan.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
So speaking of Odell Beckham, we've been teasing this all night. Andy Flanagan not here to defend his Giants, and if I know Andy, you probably wouldn't. But given that we spend a lot of time on the lounge talking about the New York Football Giants, we devote more time and energy to a 3-9 team than any podcast on the internet. That's for sure. Cowboy Senior has been running a smear campaign against the Giants from day one. And just like the Steelers, this one has worked out a bit better. He doesn't have to get on his soapbox and say crazy things to defend this one. They kind of speak for themselves. So,
I mean, can I just interject and say that might have been the worst loss of the NFL season this past week to the Jacksonville Jaguars?
The way it happened. The way it happened.
14-0.
I thought it weren't they up 21-0?
That game should be over. 21-0.
Yeah, they were up 21-0.
21-0. Well, I knew it was 14. I didn't know. They got all the way to 21-0?
Yeah.
That makes it even that much better. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Senior, are you ready?
Sure. And the amazing thing is that they blew that lead without Eli once throwing his signature pass.
Interception.
And as I tweeted after the game about that, for those of you that follow at Bogle Hill on Twitter, Eli not throwing a pick in a game, hey, I think sometimes monkeys do fall out of trees.
Oh, jeez.
But the other thing was, he made up for it by laying the ball on the ground twice. One of them was picked up for a defensive touchdown. Then Rashad Jennings was kind enough to lay one down on the turf that was picked up for a defensive touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Two defensive touchdowns in the second half. And besides that, the Giants offense did absolutely nothing. Couldn't score in the second half against those rough and tumble Jaguars. What a joke. 7 in a row they've lost now. They've become the absolute joke of the NFL. I wonder maybe if we were talking about Dalton before, and You know, I wonder if you could interchange him with Eli, too. You know, two more interchangeable parts.
Eli's better than Dalton. Even in this diminished state, he is better than Dalton.
Okay, he puts up more. He puts up more yardage numbers, but he makes even more mistakes.
I don't know. I disagree.
Put up big yards, but he is a turnover looking for a place to happen. You just kind of expect it. If you watch them play, you're waiting for the shoe to fall. You know, they're moving the ball, and you just wait for the pick. He's terrible.
I mean, his numbers are a lot better than Andy Dalton's. I mean, he's 22 touchdowns and 12 picks, 63% completion percentage. He's not the reason that they're bad.
When he throws the picks. He tends to throw them at the most soon time. And speaking of the D-men, this week we have one of our not only of the week, this is one of the track to pull games of the year. The G-men are at Tennessee this week at 1:00. I don't know. If that were the only game on, is there a parade on or something? Is there anything you could turn to?
It's a good time to do Christmas shopping.
I mean, if the Westminster Dog Show was on, it would be a no-brainer. That's what you'd be tuned in for.
Senior, you never fail to disappoint.
I got to say one thing. I was talking to a Giants fan today, matter of fact, and Eli seems to be, like, cursed. I've never seen a quarterback throw more interceptions where he throws the ball off the receiver's hands and directly into a linebacker's hands or a safety's hands. I had to see it 5 times already this year. Where he throws a perfect ball, and it'll go whoop off Reuben Randall's fingers, and all of a sudden here comes a safety charging in, and he picks it off, or off the tight end's fingers, and bam, right into a linebacker's hands. I don't know. I think he's got a little potluck going there.
Speaking of Randall. They have communication problems all the time. You really don't know who that's on, but it's probably on Randall, given that Eli's such a veteran, he doesn't really have them with other guys. But, I mean, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 picks over the last 2 years have been Randall's running the go route, and Eli throws the back shoulder fade right to the defense. You know?
Hey, he seems to have some pretty good chemistry going with Odell Beckham.
This kid,
and they've only had about 4 or 5 games together so far.
Yeah, I mean Beckham.
We'll see what happens there. That kid's going to be a superstar.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's that's a bright thing for the Giants' future. There is, I mean, they got an A+ receiver, third receiver taken in the draft, and I think he's one of those guys, Keith, that, you know, he's, you know, maybe not even the most polished route runner and stuff yet, but he's just got those hands. I mean, we don't have to talk about those hands, but I mean, he is, he's just one of those guys. He's just one of those guys. He can make plays with his feet. I mean, he's got incredible hands and incredible athletic ability, and he's really a building block for them.
You know what he reminds me of? I mean, I've only seen him a few times. A young Steve Smith. That's what he remembers, because he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's so freaking athletic and just contorts his body to come back for a catch and stops on a dime and jumps up in the air. Steve Smith reminds me. That's what he reminds me of, Steve Smith.
He reminds me of Smith in that, and a younger Steve Smith in that, with the screens and the short passes, he's very, very good after the catch. But, I mean, I don't think we've ever really seen a guy like him going up for balls like that. I mean, the closest comp I can think of is young, like, Randy Moss, when the whole offense was, all right, there's 3 guys on Randy. I'm just going to call Cunningham just runs around until he gets downfield and then just
throws
a jump ball. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of hands the kid has. And, I mean, I'm not saying he's as good as Randy Moss yet, but, there's not 10 receivers in the NFL I would trade him for. I'll tell you that. I mean, that's...
Nope. I completely agree with you.
And they're not...
Once you get past your Calvins and A.J. Greens, and, I mean, he's up the top of that list, absolutely.
Great rookie. I mean, just as a segue there, what a great rookie receiving class this is. I don't remember one like this. I mean, Watkins, he's been dinged up, but and plagued by terrible quarterback play. But I mean, Watkins is going to be a stud. Mike Evans is a stud. Beckham's a stud. Kelvin Benjamin. I mean, he's got all the physical tools. He's, you know, doesn't catch everything. I mean, makes a great play and then a bad play, like a rookie, you know, but he's going to grow into himself. And even, you know, Dante Moncrief looks like, I mean, when Wayne goes, he's going to step right in there. Who's your guy?
Yeah, it's a hell of a class. Hey, guys, I've been sitting here a while. I mean, I let you guys go on for a while, but I got to back you up a little bit. Just to what you guys were saying about Eli before you got into the receiver thing. And since he's been in the league, this guy has been throwing interceptions at a historic rate. There's no one who even compares. So as much as you want to apologize for him, you're not going to tell me, why are you telling me it's so much bad luck? After a while, it's not all bad luck. Not when it's at a historic rate like that for a lot of years. And it's not all miscommunication, and it's all the receiver's fault. No more apologizing for Eli. After a while, after a pattern of that many years, no way, okay? After a while, he's got to shoulder the blame. Come on. The guy throws more interceptions at a rate more so than any other quarterback in the history of football, period. Either apologizing to Eli, you guys are
so senior. I don't have that. I don't have that list in front of me, but I have a good guess as to who else is on top.
Him and Brett Favre.
Yep.
I was just senior, and trust me, the last thing I want to do is defend Eli Manning. But he's got two Super Bowl rings. Come on, you can't two Super Bowl rings, man. Over our team, over the freaking Patriots.
So it's
he's
not
got two freaking rings.
So listen, senior. So, the reason it's like
bad luck.
It's like the guy who's missed the most shots in NBA history, right? Who is it? It's probably is it Jordan or Kobe? My point is,
Eli to Jordan and Kobe.
No, my point.
Yeah, no, I don't even want to. Oh man.
That's why I asked you.
Maybe we could get Tom Brady into this Hall of Fame class if he could throw 10, 15 more picks a year. We'd think more of him.
Senior, yeah. You got to let me finish.
What's the guy doing taking care of the ball like that? That's not the way you do it.
Senior. So, my point is that I knew who was at the top of that list because I've seen the list before. I don't have it in front of me, of course. But to throw all those picks, you have to be trusted over an extended period of time to throw a lot of passes, right? It's not a positive, but you're never going to have a terrible quarterback at the top of that list. Right, I mean, Brett Favre wasn't a terrible quarterback, right?
Hall of Famer, first ballot. No, but that was certainly a weakness in his game that he took way too many chances, and he had some years where he was pretty bad. I mean,
sure, and no one here is comparing Eli Manning to Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
Peyton Manning.
He's certainly a cut below that, but I think you're selling him short by calling him Andy Dalton. I think that's completely ridiculous. I mean, it's unfair, senior. It's unfair, and it's not the down the middle analysis that I've come to expect from you here.
Look, all you have to think about is this: he won two Super Bowl games, right? And it wasn't like Trent Dilfer's Super Bowl, where he just stood out of the fucking way, didn't make no mistakes, let the defense win it for us. He actually drove those teams down, made one great throw, actually two, the Plexico Burris touchdown and the
helmet
completion
catch
on the sideline. I forgot who, Manningham?
That was Manningham.
No, the helmet catch wasn't a great throw. That was the fucking biggest bullshit play I've ever seen in my life. Lineman holding still, and a guy. But the Manningham catch on the sideline and the Burris touchdown in the end zone, those were great fucking throws. He did it under pressure. He didn't make mistakes when it counted the most. The guy's clutch.
in a certain extent. And now, look, he's not Peyton. He's not his brother. I'm not comparing him. Nothing like that. But you got to give this guy some kind of credit. And I'm going to be the first to say it now. Next year, Victor Cruz comes back healthy. You got him and Beckham. Even if they bring back the same running back, Rashad Jennings, if they shore up that offensive line, that Giants team is going to score some points.
Yeah, and I mean the offense. I mean Eli was the problem last year. I mean they. I mean no ifs, ands, or buts. He had a terrible year last year, but yeah, he's actually been pretty good this year. I mean their defense is really really bad. Like really
and their
really
offensive
bad,
line.
And their offensive line sucks. And it's just
you know,
Hey,
do you remember the beginning of the season, the Patriots? Tom Brady did not look like Tom Brady. Matter of fact, Rocky called for his fucking job. Said, trade him. Get rid of him. He's done. Why?
There you go.
Because he was hearing footsteps. What do you think Eli's doing every week? Eli's dropping back. He's taking three steps, and he's like, uh-oh, am I going to get hit? Throw it.
Well, we'll see what the organization thinks of him, because with their record, if they don't, they could very well finish 3-13 or 4-12.
I think they will. I don't think they'll win another game this year.
Maybe Tennessee, they could win in Tennessee this week. I like Tennessee.
I like that prediction.
I like Tennessee.
You thought they were going to beat Jacksonville last week, didn't you?
Yeah, I actually like Tennessee in the game. But what do you do if you're the Giants and Mariota's there? You'll find out what they think of Eli real quick.
Oh, you don't get rid of Eli. That's stupid. If you get rid of Eli,
he's older. What do you think?
No.
I'm playing devil's advocate. Let's say they somehow end out with the number one pick, senior. Do you take Mariota?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not.
You take a left tackle.
Mariota.
You take a left tackle. That's who you take.
You know, you got to be sold on a guy to take him number one, thinking, you know, to me that he's like a can't miss. I don't know. He's that guy that likes Brown. You know, as much as I've watched, he's kind of like a free type. I mean, he might be good, but he's a risky pick.
If you have an Andrew Luck in the draft, okay, that's an easy pick. All right. Fuck you, old man. Get out. We're going to draft a young kid.
The Colts did that.
But exactly, but like I said, they got Andrew Luck. You don't do it for Ryan Leaf. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, you don't do that. No way. Eli is a proven winner.
I mean,
it pains me to say that. Trust me, I hate that fucking team too. And I hate Eli Manning. But the guy he's not the worst quarterback in the league. He's not the worst quarterback in his division. Matter of fact, my opinion, he's the best quarterback in his division. He's better than Tony Romo.
My opinion,
he's a better quarterback than Tony Romo. Hey, you know what? You know what, Tony? All right. The Peyton Brady debate all the time, right? Who wins? Peyton chokes. Okay. Eli, Romo, who chokes? Romo has the great regular season. He puts up all these numbers. Then he can't hold a fucking snap. You know what I mean? He's throwing fourth quarter picks. Eli didn't do that. He won two Super Bowls. Give the guy credit where it's due, man.
I give him some credit, Keith. I don't think he's as good as Tony Romo.
I think he's better than Tony. I'd take him tomorrow over Tony Romo. Guaranteed. Right system. Right system, right team, right offensive line. Put him on that Dallas team. What happens?
I don't know.
Have him throw to Dez Bryant with DeMarco Murray behind him with that offensive line right there. Where when he drops back, he's not sitting there saying, oh, shit, am I going to get hit?
Hey, senior.
Yeah.
Keith's in the Fitzpatrick rabbit hole here. This happened to him once before.
Got stuck
defending
Fitzpatrick
a guy. Fitzpatrick
threw six touchdowns last week, okay? Six touchdowns. I told you that guy was good. Didn't I tell you? Hey, by the way, speaking of stupid predictions I made, I read something online this week about Trent Richardson, who basically said he was going to tear the Browns a new asshole this week.
So what's that?
He said, watch out, I'm healthy. Watch out for the next 4 weeks. So I'm going to blow up.
I'm looking at...
This is from his mouth.
Oh, I read it. I read it too, Keith. I wasn't going to bring it up out of respect, but since you went there,
No, I had to bring it up just because I'm laughing at him myself. So, oh my God! If he gets 50 yards, does that mean he tore it up?
That's what I was going to say. When he says I'm going to tear it up, what do you think that means, Senior? Maybe 3.7 yards a carry and a 1 yard touchdown. Really, turn it on the Jets.
32 yards rushing.
It's unbelievable.
Did we talk about this on the show?
How bad he is.
I told you guys Heron was going to be the starter, and he is right away.
Yeah, they didn't even wait. They unbelievable. Him right away as the starter.
And if you look, they get the same workload last week. Richardson, he outgained Richardson by like 80 yards on 10.
Hey, I told you Richardson would get 13, right?
Carries?
I didn't say 1,300 yards. 13 yards he got last week. That was his output. 13 yards.
No, and I mean, eventually...
Way to go, T-Rich. Way to go, pal.
But eventually, I mean, Indy, well-run organization, well-coached team, I mean, they really look stupid. I mean, everybody makes a bad trade, right? Everybody makes a bad trade. But the way that
not when you trade first round picks,
right?
So,
but even that, right? I mean, look at what Washington did to get Robert Griffin. That's a bad trade.
Oh.
But they know he's not any good anymore, so they're getting rid of him. Indy, I mean, there is all the evidence in the world that Richardson is not an NFL caliber running back. He doesn't belong in the league. And because of what they gave up for him, they just keep giving him half the carries.
Yeah.
I mean, you're having no-name running back after no-name running back after no-name running back outproducing him. Donald Brown got himself paid real well because people thought, well, he gained 2 yards a carry more than Richardson. He must be good.
Yeah.
He isn't good. It's just Richardson is that bad. And they're holding their team back by even giving him snaps. Senior, what do you think?
Was Boom Heron, and stay semi admit it by not even waiting a game. The first game that Bradshaw didn't play, Heron was the starter the next game. So they kind of admit it, but they don't go all the way and just get rid of the bum, which would be the right thing. You know, maybe in the playoffs you won't see the field. That's possible.
I still think he'll see the field. He's still decent at pass protection. He can still catch the ball out of the backfield. Now, he can't run worth shit, so. But he'll still see the field, though. He will. And hey, if he's a man of his word, he's going to tear Cleveland a new asshole this week.
I hope Cleveland, and I don't wish for injuries, but I hope Cleveland puts him out for the season. I really do. Just I mean, it's better for the Colts. It's better for the Colts.
It could be.
I mean,
but I'm having a decent week. No, 16 carries, 52 yards. Done.
The fact that he's going to get that many carries
in a long run of 34 yards. How about
God.
That?
Keith's had one too many in the lounge tonight. Eli Manning's...
No, what I mean is he'll bust out, you know, half of his yard total on one carry, and then the rest of the time he'll go carry.
He's not even going to
get the ball 15 times.
He's not even going to do that, Keith. He's not even going to do that.
You're probably in Cleveland. I mean, hey, if there was ever a game for him to bust out, it would be this week against the team that drafted him and traded him. So, you know, if he doesn't perform well this week, he never will. Ever.
You were saying, sir?
Because I personally think Indy will probably get off to a decent lead this week against Cleveland, and they should be running the ball to kill the clock. So
with Boom Heron.
We'll see what he can do. Yeah, you're right. It probably will be Boomerang.
You can't run the ball with T-Rich.
5.4, not the guy that's averaging 3.3.
You can't run the ball to kill the clock with T-Rich because he doesn't get first downs. I mean, he's...
True.
I mean, honestly, no. I mean, what's the difference between him and, I mean, anybody, right? I mean, I'm trying to think of a guy who's decent in pass protection, but someone who said Maurice Jones-Drew. Do you think he's better than Maurice Jones-Drew right now? I don't.
No.
And Maurice Jones-Drew has a big fork sticking out of his back, and he's better than Richardson. I mean, it's the guy. He really doesn't belong in the NFL. I mean, if he had gotten picked in, and Senior made this point previously, if he'd gotten picked in the fourth round and not the first round,
he'd be caught already. He'd be caught already.
He'd be stocking shelves in a supermarket. Yeah.
But think about our home team, right? And the way. The Patriots have made some high-profile mistakes, right? Chad Ochocinco, Albert Haynesworth, guys like that. When it's
but
not
they
working...
don't pay a big capital for those guys.
No. But my point is, when it's not working out, the Patriots...
Oh, yeah, they cut bait.
They cut bait. You're gone. I don't give a shit who you are, you know? I mean, Jonas Gray just scored 4 touchdowns, right? The guy showed up late to work, and he's gotten 1 carry since then.
See you later.
Richardson,
the
Patriots would have cut.
The
Patriots would have cut Richardson last season, even after giving up the first round pick for him.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the Patriots wouldn't be stupid enough,
of course,
to give up a first round pick for a running back.
Of course,
because you can get Jonas Gray off your practice squad to come in and get 4 or 5 yards of carry. You know, look at last year's draft. First running back taken was Sankey, right? What, second round?
Yeah, it's 2 years
Wake
in
second
a row.
Round?
It's because of Richardson.
Just Richardson.
No, it's
actually more from guys like Jonas Gray, where these teams look and go, hey, wait a minute. We wasted, the number 3 pick in the draft for a running back. This guy just found a running back on the fucking scrap heap, undrafted rookie. He's coming in, Arian Foster. Look, all the guys that come in undrafted or third, fourth, fifth round guys, they come in and do the same thing the first round running backs do.
And it's more of a
unless you're getting a guy like Adrian Peterson, I mean, what are they really worth?
My point, Keith, is that when it was, a number of great running backs have gone in the top 5. Right, I mean, guys like Peterson and Marshall Faulk, and Barry Sanders, and all these guys. So it made it worth it to make that pick. Richardson comes along, and I don't think, Todd Gurley might have gone in the first round. Until he tore his ACL, right? But I mean, Richardson and to a lesser extent, a guy like Mark Ingram. Have
Ingram.
Scared teams away. It's that, I mean,
look at Darren McFadden. He's another guy.
I mean, at least he was, had injuries. McFadden at least was good at one point. Richardson has been a complete stiff since the moment he put on an NFL uniform.
Yep, you're right.
Sorry, I know.
I mean, he had a good rookie season in Cleveland, but it was more volume. He got the ball 30 fucking times a game. So
let's be honest about it. He had a good fantasy football season because he scored 10 touchdowns, but he still averaged 3 yards a carry.
3 yards a carry. But like I said, it was all volume. It was because he got the ball 30 times a game, he still went for 100 yards. But, you're right. 3 yards a carry.
Senior.
On a bad team. So, yeah. No, I got you, man.
Senior.
I feel you.
Yes.
You've been quiet here.
Yeah, you guys
want to bury me.
Are you
told the
do...
whole story, but I mean, yeah, the guy's just a bum. I mean, what else?
Yeah, he is. He's a bum.
He's an absolute bum. One team made a mistake picking him in the first Israel Hassai as they did. Another team bailed him out of the mistake, and now they don't want to admit that they made the mistake, but they should.
Yeah.
Like I say, they semi-admit it. But the week that Bradshaw goes down, the next week this following year on Bone Boom Heron just start right away. That tells you something, right? Yeah.
The fact that Bradshaw's not good anymore. Bradshaw's not good either, you know.
Hey,
I'll tell you what, he was good this year in Indy.
Anyone is but Richardson.
No.
Who?
Bradshaw
was no better than Donald Brown was last year.
Donald Brown averaged
five and a half yards a carry for them last year.
Bradshaw was actually more valuable in the passing game.
Right, okay. All right. Yes, he was.
He was a great passing back. And the way Indy plays, you know, kind of like a Denver team where they spread you out and everything's from the shotgun. You know, he was dynamic in that system. Especially the way they used him, it wasn't like he was getting, you know, 30 touches a game. He was only getting 13, 14 touches a game.
Right. Because they got to make sure
really good yardage.
They had to make sure T. Rich got his. But my point is,
No. It was more keep Bradshaw healthy.
Donald Brown gave you 85% of what Bradshaw did, and Donald Brown's a terrible football player. Heron, when Bradshaw went down, I mean, there's been no drop off with Heron. It's just it's anybody but T. Rich. It really is. Any average NFL.
Hey.
I mean, Bradshaw's old. You know, I mean, yeah. and he does look good in that offense, but put him on the Giants. And do you think he's better than Jennings? I don't think he's better than Jennings. You know, it's
no. But when he was with the Giants, he did a hell of a job.
Absolutely.
I mean, I remember a certain touchdown he scored where he fell into the end zone backwards.
Yeah. All right,
yeah,
guys.
Let's not talk about
right?
Okay.
I want to talk about one more thing before we call it a night. And,
is it the Rams?
No, it's not the Rams. We're gonna go to Senior first on this one. I want your thoughts on Jim Harbaugh Senior in that situation, the team, and where you think he's gonna end up. One, do you think he's gonna go? And two, where you think he's gonna end up?
Yeah, I think it's totally. I think we all know he's gone. I think he's pretty much like a lame duck coach in there. That. You know, everybody on that team knows he's not getting along with upper-level management and the ownership, and he might be, okay, I'll say more than might be. I think his history when he's done is going to be that he's that kind of coach with the shelf life that's really good with a young team for a while, that fiery leadership and inspirational stuff, but he's the kind of guy that's the messages. The message, the personality, everything is going to start to wear on the veterans. And I think that's where he's at right now. And I don't think there's any doubt that he's going. And I think he's going to go right across on the, you know, right across the other side of the bay to the Raiders, where he'll be a really nice fit for a young team for a few years. I think he's the kind of guy that will be able to, he'll make them better immediately. Which isn't that hard, but I think he will. And it might be the same kind of story where 4 or 5 years down the road, he'll have reached his shelf life there. It'll be time to move on. Kind of like, okay, I'll compare it to an NBA coach, kind of like Larry Brown in basketball, who was very good everywhere he went, but had that shelf life where after a while he would wear on the veterans. They'd stop hearing the message. And it would be time for him to move on. He'd go to another younger team. He'd get them to play and buy into his whole team chemistry and everything and be a very good coach. But it just doesn't last forever. I don't think if you knew me, Harbaugh, you wouldn't like him. He's probably not a real likable guy. And to be around him for too long, he's going to wear on you. I think that has a lot to do with it. I think he's not only worn on the players, he's worn on upper-level management and ownership and everything else. And yeah, I think that Oakland will be a better team next year with him as their coach, and I think whoever San Francisco hires, San Francisco will be a better team by subtraction, just by getting him out of the locker room. Pretty much my take on it.
Thanks, Senior. So the Larry Brown take, I don't have too many good takes, but to hear my dad give the same take that I gave on Jim Harbaugh 2 weeks ago on the lounge. It's fantastic. So thank you, Dad.
Say Larry Brown. I'm sorry. I don't remember.
Oh, don't be sorry. Don't be all sorry. Right. Obviously, that resonated. You thought you had read that from, like, Peter King or something. But, no, yeah. that was Cowboy. That was Cowboy's take.
That was the Cowboy's take.
So, all right.
Hey, I got a fresh take for you. How about those two guys swap places, Rex Ryan and Jim Harbaugh? Harbaugh comes to New York, coaches the Jets. Rex Ryan takes over the Niners. Could you imagine Rex Ryan with that defense? Healthy next year? Willis and Bowman back?
I think there's a real chance that Harbaugh ends out with the Jets. I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't
Jets think, or Raiders, right? Those are the two.
Right now, the only reason I think I disagree with Senior is I think there's going to be more of a market for him, and just if I'm putting myself into his shoes, if I have any other option, do I want to go coach the Raiders? I mean, it's a real dumpster fire. I mean, San Francisco had some good pieces. The Raiders, I mean, Carr looks like he could be decent, but I mean, he turned them around right away. I mean, if you take the Raiders job, I mean, you have to be ready to lose for a couple of years, and I don't think that suits him at all. The Jets, you could make the case the defense is in place. You just need a couple of cornerbacks and a quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the defense is at least serviceable. The Raiders are putrid on both sides of the ball. I don't like the Jets for him either. For him, I mean, what about Atlanta? I mean, Mike Smith has to go if they don't win that division, right? Do you think that's too much of a veteran team? Or I think that's a situation Harbaugh could step in. If you watch Hard Knocks or you watch them, I mean, Mike, the team sorely is lacking like toughness, and Mike Smith is like comes off like not the toughest guy in the world, you know. That Harbaugh could instill that toughness, and he's got a button. I know you said a young team, Senior, but what about a veteran team that has all the talent in the world like that, but has never been able to get over the hump? Are they willing to swallow their pride a little bit, fall in line with this guy with the promises of a, you know, better chance of at a ring at the end of that? What do you think?
Yeah, it might work for a year or two, I think. I think that might not be a bad fit.
And I think that's the shelf life for that team. I mean, they're not, right? A year, two, three, max.
And besides that, it's not only his soft, quote, soft persona and everything, but a few games this year. I mean, you don't really see this out of an NFL coach very often, but he doesn't seem like a real good X's and O's, clock manager, being aware of situations guy at all. He's made some mistakes, you know, so that wouldn't happen with Harbaugh, that's for sure. So, yeah, that could be a possible fit.
And if you're Harbaugh, I mean, if that's on the table, I mean, I would think, given what he did in San Francisco, that for the most part, whatever job he wants – that's open, he would be the number one candidate for. Do you guys agree?
Him or Rex?
I think more so than Rex. I mean, Rex, I think Rex is going to be in the booth next year, like CBS or whatever. I think he needs
well,
it. I mean, his record, I mean, his record's bad. I mean, I do think he's a good coach.
Is it, though? Is it? Really? I mean, his first couple of years in New York, they went to the AFC Championship game.
They did, but it's been a bad run here.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Look at it, though. Who'd they have? Quarterback. And his defenses were always, you know, basically top 10 until this year. I mean, I personally think if that San Fran job comes up and he's a candidate for it, he'd take that.
He would. I don't think he
I
would.
Think, I think he'd tear that. That defense would be. Oh boy, I wouldn't even want to see that next year. I mean, that defense is going to be great next year. Just the fact that Willis and Bowman will be back, it's going to be that much better.
I agree,
he'd get all the credit for it. You know what I'm trying to say?
I agree. He would do a good job for them, but I don't think he'll get the job. I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell he'll get the job.
Maybe I'm wrong. He would be there. He would be a real breath of fresh air for the guys in the locker room who are sick of Harbaugh's act. I mean, players love him. He might really be able to get something done with those guys. It's really not a bad thought.
I don't think it's a bad thought.
I mean, defensively, I mean that team is already, they're dynamite already, and they're down their two biggest players, Willis and Bowman. That's the heart of their defense. I mean, those guys come back next year, and they get a defensive minded coach coming in. Wow, that'd be ridiculous.
That's good with quarterback. Good with you. That's proven in who's quarterback. Trying to coach Kaepernick.
Look. In my opinion, Harbaugh, Rex Ryan, they'll be the two hottest commodities on the market next year, coaching wise. I mean, there's probably eight teams who will need a coach. Atlanta. Oakland. I'm going to say Cincinnati. If Marvin Lewis don't get over the hump, he's gone. He should be anyway. Let's see what else. Maybe Tennessee. Who knows? But we said the Raiders, right? Yep, the Raiders. Giants. You know, with Tom Coughlin. I mean, I don't think they should, but New York is a lot of pressure. They might change coaches. Who knows what happens in Washington? Is it RG3 or is... You never know there.
Gruden's going to stay.
Dallas, if they fall apart, will they need a coach?
So I think you guys are over... I'm not saying you're overrating Rex Ryan, but I think you're overrating the market for Rex Ryan as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I really think after this season, he's going to have trouble finding. If he wants a head coaching job, it's going to have to be Oakland. I think that's the only team that might take him. You've read reports he's got a $5 million a year TV deal on the table for him for whenever he gets fired.
He'd be great in the booth.
Oh, and I think there's a real – and I mean, these last years can't have been fun for him. I mean, he's had to completely – swallow his pride and not be himself, you know, with the media and everything. And I mean, all they do is lose. And I mean, I think he's going to the booth. I think he's going to the booth. And then it's a matter, is he Cower, where once he's there, he just likes it so much? But I don't know.
Do you guys think that was Rex's fault that his team fell off the last 2 years? Because to me, he was, I don't want to say sabotaged, but, I mean, they stripped his defense. He had Revis and Cromartie at one point. Now he's got, I don't even know who. I don't even know their corners' names. They sucked that bad. He went from Sanchez to Tim Tebow, Geno Smith, Michael Vick. I mean, come on, you can't win with that. How do you win with that?
I mean, Sanchez was freaking terrible. I mean, you know, I mean, it's...
The last 6 months, you know, of Sanchez's career in New York was awful. But, you know, I don't know. He's not the offensive coordinator.
So, eventually, you know, Keith, I think if your team's going 4-12, whatever, I mean, some of that falls on the head coach.
Oh, well, he's going to take all the blame for it. But if you're looking at it, you know, from an objective point of view, as like I said, like San Fran ends up firing Jim Harbaugh, who do we want to coach this team? Who's available? You know, Cowher's in the booth, Gruden's in the booth. You know, these guys aren't coming out of retirement. You want a college coach? No, probably not. Maybe there's a coordinator on somebody's team you want, but you want a first-year head coach, or do you want a guy with experience? Been to the playoffs already, and been to the playoffs with what I would consider minimal talent. I mean, he had a great defense a couple times, and his defense always performed. He never had an offense. Never. He guys never had a quarterback. Mark Sanchez is the best quarterback he's ever had.
Right. So here's
and he's fucking terrible.
Well, here's my point. Well, right. You have to be able to coach both sides of the ball. And the fact that he can't develop young quarterbacks, I mean, I think that that's probably proven because Sanchez was a high draft pick and Geno was a high draft pick, and they both basically regressed under Ryan.
Okay. All right. I'll say one more thing there. Whose fault is that? Idzik's. Not Rex. Rex Ryan didn't draft those quarterbacks. The fucking GM did. Geno Smith is a fucking bum. That was a bad draft pick. Sanchez was, all right, a flyer. But even his own college coach, Pete Carroll, at the time was saying he's not ready for the NFL. He's not ready for the NFL. And they drafted him anyway.
So
Ryan didn't do that.
They took him fifth overall, and now he's playing for a different coach, and he's playing well. Right, Geno Smith.
All right, we'll see how Sanchez looks this week against Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of how he looked against Seattle, I mean, he's looked infinitely better than any game he ever played for the Jets.
This goes back to talent. Who was he throwing to in New York? Do you remember? Santonio Holmes was his best receiver.
Right. Do you think Santonio Holmes then is a lot worse than Jeremy Maclin is now?
Yes.
Or do you think that it's Chip Kelly is a great offensive coach? So you think
not just Jeremy Maclin, LeSean McCoy, Matthews, Selleck, and Ertz.
Right. I mean these are guys
it's a whole different system.
These are guys back that...
When he played for the Jets, he had Sean Green standing behind him, who's a fucking bum. He's Trent Richardson, 2.0. I mean, come on. He never had an offense. He was a defensive-minded coach. He had a great defense. And they, like I said, I think they overachieved, to be honest with you, because their offense sucked. But defensively, he kept them teams in games. So if he goes to San Fran, the offense can't get any worse than it already is. They don't score no points now. You go in there with Kaepernick, with maybe not Gore anymore. Gore might be gone. But you got Carlos Hyde there. You got Crabtree, Bolden, Davis. I don't know.
We'll see. All right, guys.
I think it might work in San Fran.
All right, guys. We've run out of time here on the lounge. Heated debate tonight. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Senior, it's always a pleasure.
All right. It was good, as always.
You know, we'll be back next week. Keith, of course, it's always a pleasure. You were really on your game tonight.
Can we do another one?
I have material.
Can we tape a new one?
I have, yeah. This has been the best one since the Fitzpatrick Richardson night. Now I have I have material for the next 12 weeks now.
That's fantastic. So I love it.
For senior, for Schmitty, Keith, I'm the cowboy, and I'm out.